to this inspirational teaching of Celebration Sisterhood from Pastor Carrie Weems.
It is awesome to be here with you today. Last Sisterhood of the spring semester, kind of bittersweet. And today it is all about longevity. Everyone say longevity. Longevity. And you know, longevity just means a long time. You know, we learned about valuing ourselves. It's all about value. We have to start off this big life believing that we have value. Just because we're God's daughters, for nothing that we do, just because we are, we have value. We talked about finding that purpose zone, that place where you know you are leading from your strengths, you're in your strengths, you're in the purposes of God, and how that is, it's ongoing, and it kind of unfolds and changes according to the seasons of life that you're in. We talked about navigating the seasons of life. The seasons of life, you know, women are very affected by the seasons of life. We're young, we're single, we're in school, we're career, then we get married, we have kids. We're very impacted by the seasons of life in a way that I think men are not impacted by them. And then we talked about endurance last week, talking about, you know, enduring through trials, talking about positioning yourself to go the distance. And so today I just want to wrap it up talking about longevity. Not just enduring once, but continuing that cycle of seasons, enduring, value, purpose, all those things. So those go in cycles through our lives. And longevity just means making it through all those cycles until the very end. So I want to just talk about longevity. You know, and longevity to me, I think it's so beautiful when you see these photos of women who are, you know, they're older, they're aged, they're mature, and they've got, you know, their life experience on their face. We don't see that as much these days in America as we used to because of plastic surgery. People are fighting aging, and I'm not going to look down on that because I would also like to fight aging as much as possible, but I do have something to read to you. It's a warning that I got. Someone emailed this to me recently, and I just want to let you know about it. It says, "You've heard about people who have been abducted and had their kidneys removed by black market organ thieves. Well, this kind of cruel theft is happening with other body parts as well. My thighs were stolen from me during the night a few years ago. I went to sleep and woke up with someone else's thighs. It was just that quick. The replacements had the texture of cooked oatmeal. Whose thighs were these, and what happened to mine? I spent the entire summer looking for my thighs. Finally, hurt and angry, I resigned myself to living out my life in jeans. And then the thieves struck again. My butt was next. I knew it was the same gang because they took pains to match my new rear to the thighs they had stuck me with earlier. But my new butt was attached at least 3 inches lower than my original. I realized I'd have to give up my jeans in favor of long skirts. And 2 years ago, I realized that my arms had been switched. One morning, I was fixing my hair and was horrified to see the flesh of my upper arm wiggling to and fro with the motion of the hairbrush. I see some of you have experienced these same thieves in your life. This was really getting scary. My body was being replaced one section at a time. What would they do to me next when my poor neck suddenly disappeared and was replaced with a turkey neck? I decided to tell my story. Women of the world, wake up and smell the coffee. These plastic surgeons are using real replacement body parts stolen from you and me. The next time someone you know has something lifted, look again. Was it lifted from you? This is happening to women everywhere, every night. Warn your friends. P.S. Last year, I thought someone had stolen my boobs. I was lying in bed and they were gone. But when I jumped up out of bed, I was relieved to see that they had just been hiding in my armpits as I slept. Now I keep them hidden in my waistband. Have any of you experienced these thieves? Have they broken into your house? Moved your butt down 3 inches? Taken your arms? Moved your boobs to your armpits? What is going on? You know, it is inevitable that our bodies are going to age, and it's good to laugh at it, because if you had all the money in the world, you still can't fight it. We are living in time. We are living in space. We are living in a world of gravity that unfortunately, in some ways, just tends to, you know, bring our body parts down to the ground as we get older. But the good thing is, even though our bodies have to age, our spirits can stay young. We can be young in heart. Can I have a good amen for that? You know, I love what Paul says in the book of Corinthians. He says, although this outward vessel, this outward temple is wasting away day by day, yet inwardly we are being renewed. We are being renewed. And you know, just because our bodies get old, we can be young at heart. We can stay young at heart. And longevity, the key to longevity is staying young at heart. There's a great example of this in the Bible in the life of Caleb. You know the story of Caleb and Joshua when the Israelites first went to take down Canaan? They went to go into the promised land and Moses sent out 12 spies. Was it 12 or 40? It was 12. Okay, just, you're like, we don't know. Don't tell us you're wrong. We don't even know. We don't know the numbers. I'll remember that for next time. It was 12 spies, one for each tribe of Israel. They went in to spy out the land, and they came back, and they were like, 10 of them said, there's giants in this land. There's no way we can win this battle. Let's move on to some other place. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and they stayed true and they said, no, we can do it. God is on our side. And because of the disbelief of the Israelites, God caused them to wander in the desert for another 40 years until that entire faithless generation died off. Everyone who was alive when they first tried to go into the promised land actually died. And then the next generation stepped up, and they were the ones that were going to take the promised land. And so here's a conversation they have taken that Caleb had with Joshua. At this time, Moses had also passed away, and Joshua was the leader of Israel. And Caleb is coming to Joshua, and I love his words to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. This is what Caleb says. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord, this is Caleb speaking now, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh from Kadesh Barnea, someone stole my eyes as well. Give me ones. I couldn't read words that are too small. Sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. And I love this. He was my age when God sent him into the promised land to spy out the land. And I love this because Caleb says, I brought back word as it was in my heart. I believe this in my heart that we could take the land. And he says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear is what they did. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, I love this, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Caleb was 85 years old when he went in to take the promised land. And listen to what he says about himself. Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard that in that day how the Anakim were there and how that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. It's amazing. Amazing. 85 years old. Now, listen what's happening here, okay? Not only did he have to go in the first time and spy out the land, then he has to wander around the desert with unbelievers for 40 years, or 45 years. Then he has to go back when they're about to take in the land. And basically what it looks like is going on is the property is getting divided out between the tribes of Israel and people of Israel. And they're going to have to go into their own territory and fight their own battle and drive out the people that remain in their inheritance. So here's Caleb at 85 years old saying, give me my inheritance. Give me my mountain. I am not too old to take this. I am still as strong as I was 45 years ago. I still have the faith. I still have the fight. I am not ready to give up. I'm ready to go into battle and to come out of battle and take down the giants that dwell in my land. That is some serious longevity. Would you agree with me? He has achieved longevity. So how do we achieve this longevity? You know, I read this all the time because it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. I love reading it from the Amplified Bible. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, fruitful. This is in the Amplified Bible. I love the shades of meaning that it gives us. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Listen, I love this. It starts this off with longevity, the uncompromisingly righteous. Now, what does that mean? Besides just health, you know, faith in Jesus Christ, we know that that makes us righteous before God. But this is talking about a lifestyle of serving God. Can I tell you that if you ever go, if you've been to the doctor, as I know you have, and they get you to fill out your medical history, what are the things that they ask you? Do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you have STDs? They start naming all these health risks. A lot of them are the result of not living a righteous life, a life following God. You know, living a righteous life actually reduces your health risks. It makes you low risk. Like when I went in to have all my children, I had to give a medical history. And it was, you know, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't, was able to say no to all those health risks. And I'm not trying to say, oh, look how goody two shoes I am. But honestly, I saw in that moment the evidence of what following God from a young age does for your body. I mean, it's better for you not to do those things, you know? And here's the other thing that serving God, listen to these things that you can find studies done on this. Do you know that people who are generous have a greater sense of well-being? There are studies that show that generosity makes you feel better. It contributes to mental well-being. Do you know that living in a strong community helps people to live longer? That's what the church is. It's a strong community. Do you know that having a sense of purpose helps people to have a better quality of life for a longer time serving? Do you know planting yourself in the house of the Lord contributes to your longevity? And God designed it that way. He designed it that we would follow a lifestyle that would help our body be strong and not contaminated. And He designed it that we would be emotionally planted and stable and happy by being planted in the house of God among other people. And if we follow this, you know what? You actually physically increase your longevity. You position yourself for longevity. Is that amazing? It's so amazing. Like millions and millions of dollars of study. And I'm not saying that that's going to protect you from every bad thing, but I'm saying it positions you well. It positions you well. And I love this. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. They are living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, God's plan for old age is fruitfulness and freshness. That is God's plan. You know, I think our culture and our world would like to say that after a certain point, you're not useful. That's not what God says. He says that my plan for you is as long as there is breath within you, as long as you are able, there is purpose on your life. There is usefulness on your life. And I love this because, you know, it's such a compliment to the Proverbs 31 woman. We read about in Proverbs 31 at the end of that chapter in verses 28 through 31. It talks about, I think that this is giving a long range perspective of the Proverbs 31 woman's life. What does it look like at the latter part of her life? And I love that the Bible says her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband boasts of her and praises her. And he says, many daughters have done virtuously, nobly, and well with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. How could you know that her character was steadfast in goodness if she had not lived some life? That takes longevity to prove that about yourself. So we know that we're looking at the hindsight at this woman. We're looking over the course of her life when we see this. And it says this, but you excel them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is vain because it is not lasting, but a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord shall be praised. And I love this. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. This is a woman who has lived a life, a righteous life, an uncompromisingly righteous life. She is in the latter half of her life, and this is what her portion is. This is her portion. She remains green, useful, full of purpose, full of fruit, full of vitality. You know, and I think this is so important to say because for those of us in here who are aged, you know, you have passed middle ages and you're middle age and you're looking at your life. It's important that we venerate that as a culture. We need to venerate that. We need to hold it up, especially women who have done what this verse says and they have lived a life of steadfast strength of character and goodness. That is something to be venerated. That is something to be honored. Amen. We should clap for them because it's true. That is not a small task to stay true to God through the span of your years on the earth. and to raise a family that knows you're true to God and your life bears witness. We should venerate that. And for people who are in my age group and in their middle years, you know what it does? It gives you strength. When you look at those living memorials, it gives you strength to go, you know what? I can keep going. I can keep going. The momentary affliction that I feel, the strain of the stretch of raising my kids and pleasing my husband and holding my job down, and it's worth it, because in the end, if I keep at it and I don't grow weary in doing well, I will reap if I do not faint. I can see the rewards of my life. And for those of you who are young and you maybe are just starting off, it's good to know, to have vision for what you want your life to look like. Where are you walking? What are you looking for? What do you want that latter half of your life to look like? Well, God gives us a vision. He gives us a vision right here that we want our life to be full of fruit, to be fresh. There is a vision of what the latter half of your life can look like, but we have to begin positioning ourselves for it in our youth. So that's why it's important to talk about longevity to all the generations that are gathered. So a couple of things. We're going to do a spiritual aging test. You know those things like on the Wii? If you have a Wii Fit, they have like your true age. Does anybody have a Wii Fit and they've done that? I won't tell you what my true age was, but I will say that it was very disappointing, okay? Let me just say, I don't think it was right. So that's all. I'm just drawing the line there. I'm not going to say any more about it. It was disappointing and I think wrong, but anyway. But we can do a spiritual age test, okay? And so here's some things you can tell your age. You want our heart to be young, so let's get some things we can do to do a spiritual age test. First of all, if you're aging spiritually, you'll have a loss of flexibility. A loss of flexibility. That's my first point, okay? One thing that happens when your body ages is you lose your flexibility. That's the truth. But if you want to live a big life, if you want to stay young at heart, you have to continue to remain flexible on the inside. You have to get comfortable with the stretch. I love this verse, Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3 from the Amplified Bible. It said, I don't know if it's from the Amplified, but it's verses 2 and 3. What do I have up here? I don't know what for. It's okay. Well, I'll just read it. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabitant. Look at that language. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not. Don't hold anything back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. It sounds like a yoga workout. It sounds like a Pilates class. Stretch. Lengthen. Enlarge. Breathe. But you know, we have to have that kind of mindset if we're going to stay young at heart. And that's one of the things that helps us to continue to bear fruit in our old age. You know how you can tell if you're losing your flexibility in this area, losing your inward flexibility? Something changes and you just get bent out of shape about it. They changed the way we do that. Oh, man, you can't handle it if somebody changes something. That is not a good sign. You know, as I get older, I don't like change as much. I would really like to have routine. I'm married to a man that is like, you cannot imagine how this man likes change. And he's even better now that he's 40. But when we were young, I mean, it was the exact opposite of me. He was just like loved it. It fires him up to change. And to me, I'm just like, you know how I am. I mean, I'm very organized. People don't like to change. We work hard to be organized. We don't want you to change things, so we have to reorganize according to your new change. So I'm with you, all you people who don't like change. My temperament is such that I don't like it at all. I like things to stay the same. But we want to be people who know how to embrace change. You know, loss of flexibility. We don't want to be that kind of person. Another thing is getting stuck in your routine, just stuck in it to where you can't you can't vary from it. No matter what happens, you're just, okay, 3 o'clock, I have to do this. 4 o'clock, I have to do this. 5 o'clock, I have to do this. You know, life can't happen to you that way. You can't contain the dreams and the needs and the love for other people if you are ruled by the clock, which I know that most of you here aren't like that. But if we sink into that, where we have to always obey our routine, you know, shake it up a little bit. It's not going to hurt you to shake it up a little bit. And I remember my grandma, Evelyn, my grandmother Evelyn, who's passed now. But, you know, for a long time as I was growing up, she had this garden in her backyard. It was a really big garden. My grandfather passed away fairly young. He passed away in low 60s, but early 60s. But she had this big garden in her backyard. It was huge. And she would work that garden every day. She grew squash and eggplant and pole beans and tomatoes. I mean, she was a gardener. And it was great to go to her house. She had a fig tree back there. And, I mean, fresh produce. If you've ever taken a tomato off the vine and washed it and eaten it, like, still warm from the garden, there is nothing like it. It's so good. She had a green thumb. But I noticed as she started aging, she, like, I used to come over there and I couldn't find her in her chair. Like, I'd have to knock on the door and then go around to the back. But as she got older, I would knock on the door, and she would be right there in her chair. And the older she got, the more time she spent in her chair. And I really think that her aging was accelerated by sitting in the chair. It was accelerated. She got less. In fact, one of the biggest signs that she was getting on is that she lost her ability to be flexible. Just lost that flexibility. I remember her just, you know, where she used to be always bending over in the garden. She just started getting a little bit depressed, and she quit going out in that garden, and she let it dry up. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really sad. She kind of lost a little bit of a sense of purpose right there. So that's always something I remember about her. I remember her and thinking, I wonder if she had just kept up that garden somehow, she could have added a few more years, you know. And she's with the Lord right now. She was a great godly woman. But I just wonder sometimes if losing her vision for that, losing her sense of purpose and spending more time in that chair, you know, instead of walking around, just was one of those things that took years from her life instead of adding. So this is what I want you to do. We're going to do a stretch right now, because I want you to feel in your body what it feels like to stretch. Okay? So go ahead and just take your arm and pull, like, you know how to do the shoulder stretch. This one.
Pull it. Oh yeah, that's awesome.
You feel that? Now switch arms. Oh, that's good. Now let's do your head. Neck stretch. This feels like kindergarten. You have to do that in kindergarten when you have to do morning stretches with the teacher. Okay, you feel that stretch? It's funny how when you stretch, all of a sudden, what do you want to do? Like, I want to stretch other parts of my body. Like, I want to stretch my quads now. I want to stretch my calves now. You realize how stiff you've been when you start stretching. All of a sudden, you realize you could use a little workout. So we want to stay flexible. You need to feel that. We feel that in our body, but are you feeling that in your soul? Are you feeling that same little bit of uncomfortable, just enough to be a challenge, just enough to be like, oh, you know what? It's shaking you up a little bit. That's what the inner stretch feels like. It should be a little bit of a challenge, not so painful that you break. You want to pull something, but stretching enough to challenge you, to expand you, to wake you up. You need to feel that in your soul, the way you feel it in your body. It's a different dimension, but you can still feel it. The second thing, second aging test, diminishing vision. Diminishing vision. Hello, object lesson right here. Can't read my notes. I have to put everything in 16-point type. Not ready to do bifocals yet. So, but we cannot lose long-term vision of what God wants to accomplish through our lives. We can't lose the long-term vision of what God wants to accomplish through our lives. And this has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with focus. Focus. We have to keep our lives focused around something. If not, if you lose a point of focus in your life, you'll just be willy-nilly all over the place. You know, just this is where I think we lose a sense of focus in our lives. We start reacting to life, and then life starts to take hold of us. Other people's needs start to take hold of us. Other people start to direct our lives instead of us making choices that move our lives forward. And we always want to leave room to serve and help others. I'm not saying we should live selfishly completely according to what we want and need. But I'm saying if you have focus in your life, it better enables you to make those choices. What do I say no to? What do I say yes to? How do I leave margin in my life to respond to those things that come up? So focus in your life is so important. We have to have vision for that. I love this. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. You know, we cannot cast off restraint. We can't cast off restraint. We must learn to wear the constraints of our vision. I don't know about you, but if you've, some of the women who in here who have been pregnant, you know, I was very dedicated to my health before I had kids. I worked out, like I would get up at 5 a.m. and go hit the gym for an hour before work. I was not with kids, so you know that this is more possible when you don't have kids. But get up, go hit the gym for like an hour before work, go teach all day, then on the way home, stop by the gym again. So I was doing 2 a-days. I was very dedicated to my health. And told like always health food and all that. So when I finally got pregnant with my first child, I cast off restraint. about my health. I did. I'm not kidding you. It was not unusual for me to sit in bed and eat an entire can of Pringles alone. Pringles. Okay, that's not even a real potato chip. It's like pressed, modified cornstarch. It's not, in case you're wondering, those are not real potatoes. It's like, you know the Instant Potato Flakes? That's what Pringles are. So you know now. You have no excuse. I mean, like a different flavor every night. Chocolate. I cast complete restraint off of my health. And you know what? I never quite have gotten back my vision, my prophetic vision for my health the way it was before. But I, you know, we can cast off restraints. We have to wear the constraints of the vision for our lives. And yes, we are captivated by grace. We are saved by grace. But when it comes to calling, there's a price to pay and there's a cross to bear. Okay, when it comes to calling, not salvation. Salvation, we cannot do anything to earn that. But when it comes to walking out your calling and unleashing your potential and rising to what God has for you, there is a price to pay and there is a cross to bear. So for me, what are the constraints of my vision for my life? Okay, here's some constraints. I'm a pastor, so church every Sunday is a constraint on my life. Unless I'm on vacation or unless I'm traveling, speaking somewhere else. It's a vision. I don't just wake up in the morning and go, well, I think I'd like to sleep in today. I don't do that. It's a constraint on my life is that I go to church every weekend. Another constraint is no matter how tired I am on Wednesdays, I get up and go to sisterhood during the semester. How many of you would like to show up here and then I just wasn't, no one was speaking? Okay, I have to make a decision that I'm going to come up with a message and labor over it in prayer, labor over it in the spirit, organize it, get my notes to CGI. I mean, there's stuff that goes along with that. But if that's your vision, you have to be constrained by it. Here's another thing, pastoring a church. I tell people this all the time. I come under the constraints of our church calendar. This is just from my context. It's all I know how to speak from. I can't speak from your context. But these are just an example of, like, I come under the constraints of our church calendar. I don't travel on Easter. I don't travel on Christmas Eve to see my family. We go to church on Christmas Eve. During busy times, I don't leave. I'm here. Like, I'm plugged in. I come under the constraints of those calendar. If we have a birthday on a Sunday, guess what? Nobody's going out to dinner on their birthday because it's Sunday. Those are the constraints of my vision, okay? And I bear them gladly. I'm not saying that that's a burden, but you do have to come under some kind of constraint for the vision on your life. So I would ask you this. What vision do you have for your life? And what restraints are you wearing for the vision that God's given you? If you have vision and you're not willing to wear the restraints mandated by that vision, you're not going to fulfill that vision. And I love this. Christine says this on page 167 of her book. She says, this vision must be an ongoing, unfolding, prophetic revelation so that we don't get distracted or settle for short-term gratification. So prophetic. What does the word prophetic mean? It comes from the Hebrew word for prophet, which means bubbling forth, bubbling over. It's the same word picture that Jesus uses for the living water within us through the Holy Spirit. The vision for your life is not ever going to, God gives us that in seasons, and you're not going to get the whole picture right at once. It has to be always bubbling forth from you. You have to keep it alive. You have to keep it fresh, and you have to keep responding to it, okay? You have to continually have new revelation on it. So to think that you're going to land on this one vision and it's going to stay the same the rest of your life from the time you're 30 to the time you're 85, no, that's not going to happen. And unless you are continually in that zone of bubbling forth and adjusting and responding to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and gladly wearing the restraints of the vision that God's given you, you're not going to be able to accomplish what He puts before you. So don't lose vision. Don't lose vision. That's a sign of spiritual aging. The third sign of spiritual aging is hearing loss. Hearing loss. Okay? I have hearing loss a little bit, a weird kind. Like I my kids are always, when they try to talk to me and I'm watching TV with them and they then try to talk to me, I'm like, you sound the same as the TV. Turn off the TV or turn it down. Like, I cannot now distinguish sounds. Is that terrible? Anybody else have that? Okay, yes. Okay, I can hear one thing at a time. So anyway, that's hearing loss. Sad. It's very sad. Hearing and eyes. But there it is. But we don't have to have spiritual hearing loss. We don't have to have spiritual hearing loss. We have to learn to discern the voice of God in increasing measure as we continue the journey. We never have to have spiritual hearing loss. That is one thing my grandmother never lost to her last day was the ability to hear from God. But she had a prophetic gifting. And even when she was sitting in that chair, I remember people from her neighborhood knew her as someone that they could go to and talk to. And she had people all day long knocking on her door. Sometimes little kids looking for an after-school snack. Sometimes, people in the neighborhood looking for work. I was always like, Grandma, don't open the door for those people coming to your house looking for work. I'm not afraid, Carrie. I'm 82 years old. You think I care if someone comes? I'm like, Grandma, don't do that, you know. But she had a reputation for being a will. In fact, she cracks me up because phone solicitors would call her. And she, I mean, bless their hearts, they picked the wrong woman to call and solicit. She would get on the phone, I'm not kidding you, like, what's going on with you today? Are you struggling with it? Can I pray for, like, seriously, on the phone with the phone solicitor for an hour. Prophetic words over there, like, God is speaking. Never lost her ability to hear. She would call, like, I would go, I'm like, what did you do today, Grandma? Oh, I had the biggest time of ministry with a guy calling from AT&T. I'm like, who does that? My grandma. From her chair, never lacking for purpose, never lacking for hearing the voice of God, being useful and fruitful in old age, even though she could not drive. She had cataracts, so she couldn't drive, but looking for God opportunities, bold with the Holy Spirit. So, wow, Grandma, like, that's inspiring to me. I don't know if I'll be, you know, talking to some AT&T solicitors, but man, I'm proud of that. I am proud of that in her. I'm so proud that she didn't lose vision for her life and she didn't quit hearing the voice of God. We have to position ourselves to hear the voice of God. That's about positioning and keeping your senses keen. And we do that by keeping our heart tender, okay? Number four, the fourth sign of spiritual aging is loss of energy, strength, and speed. Loss of energy, strength, and speed. Did you start out strong but are now taking the scenic route to eternity? Did you start off strong but are now taking the scenic route to eternity? I love Galatians 6:9. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, I think this is where it comes down to beginning to take the scenic route, losing our energy, losing our strength, losing our zeal. Because life does give us trials. It does give us pain. It does give us heartache, and those can feel just like obstacle after obstacle that we're running against. But the Bible says don't lose heart when you're doing well. Don't grow weary. Why would we have to be encouraged in that? Why would we have to be told don't grow weary in doing well if, in fact, there was not opportunity to grow weary while doing well? Paul knows that as you are living the God life, you are going to get tired of paying the price. You are going to get tired of looking at the vision that lies ahead of you and yet still not seeing it fulfilled. The journey of faith is a journey of waiting. It is. There's no way around it. There's no shortcut. To grow in faith, we have to learn to wait and be patient. And it is so easy to grow weary while doing those good things. And waiting, not in the sense of, you know, sitting back and just waiting for life to pass, waiting for that moment to come, but waiting in the sense of active waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord. You know, that word wait does not mean like sit down and wait and watch time tick by. It means wait in an active sense. Serve the Lord. Continue to love him. Continue to wait upon him. And as a server would wait upon someone at a dinner table. Wait upon the Lord. But it is easy when you're not seeing those things come to pass in your life to get weary in doing well. I see this a lot of times with single girls, and we all have friends that have done this, that they're waiting and waiting and waiting on this man to come, and they just get tired of waiting. They grow weary in that doing well and waiting. And it's sad when you see friends settle for less than mates. You know what I'm saying? If you had girlfriends that you thought maybe, oh man, she could have done a little better. I just don't think this is quite the right person. I mean, I'm just saying what you have all thought, so don't look at me like that. Okay? You're like, that was not the right guy, you know? And then you watch their marriage go through bump after bump after bump and trial after trial after trial, and you're going, you don't ever say this to them, but you're thinking, I knew that was coming. There's a settling, because why? I don't mean that to bring condemnation or to talk down about people, but that's just one example of growing weary and do it. Parenting. Parents, it is so difficult to continue parenting and not grow weary the older your kids get. I mean, it's hard to continue to hold up the standards of righteousness. It's hard to continue to bring discipline. It's so much easier just to give in because you get tired of fighting about it all the time. Don't grow weary in doing well. Don't grow weary in doing well. In due season, you will reap. That season might not be for a while, but you will reap. Keep your eyes focused on that. You know, you have to, for that doing well, you have to tap in to the supernatural strength of God. Galatians 3:2 in the Message version, 3:2-4 says this. This is from the Message. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? So whatever God began in you, he's going to perfect. But we cannot live, okay, we can only live a supernatural life by supernatural grace and supernatural strength. So this is what we have to do. We have to continually get good at finding and leaning into the grace and the strength of Jesus. We have to just continue to stay close and to realize, you know, it's so easy to take out of wanting to have control over things in our lives, to take those things back and start trying to manipulate them out in our own strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, we feel like we can make it go faster if only we would just talk to this person or move over here or move this money to this place or get this job. I struggled with that so much when I first became a mom because I like to work. And I knew that God was calling me to be at home for a season and not work. And I got a little bit bored sometimes. And so sometimes I would want to just, like, go take a little side job or something. You know what? And it wasn't God's will for me to do that. So every time I did that, I was, and we weren't making any money, seriously, combined. Like, my husband was making $20,000 a year. We had a baby. We were making nothing. And yes, it was as little then as it is now. It was still a little bit of money. So I wanted to bring income to the house. I was bored a little bit. I wanted to, you know, get my mind going again. You know, when you just have a baby, you feel like your whole mind turns into mush bananas for a while. It's just not getting very much adult conversation. So every time I tried to step outside of the will of God, it didn't bring peace and it didn't bring fulfillment. It brought distress. You know, when it's in God's timing there, you step into something in his timing, there's going to be peace waiting for you there. It doesn't mean that you won't have to negotiate, you know, some difficulty, or, you know, you won't have to do some adjusting, but it's like that stretch that it's hard, but it feels good. Like, you know, it's right. So waiting on God's timing, you know, don't try to step in and take control of something in your life. Just wait on God to do it. Because when you step in and you try to control it, then you're going to start doing it in your own strength. And that's when you grow weary and doing well. So just waiting on God's timing is a big part of not growing weary. And here's the last thing, tastelessness. Tastelessness. As you get older, unfortunately, you lose your taste a little bit. You don't taste things. And you would think that this would make you eat less, but sadly it doesn't. It's like you just keep eating more in hopes that eventually you will taste something. Like, it has to be there somewhere. I'm just going to keep eating until I find it. But the truth is, you lose your ability to taste a little bit. All right. So here's a cool verse about this. You lose your taste for the things of God. The things of God become mundane. And I can relate to this because sometimes when things become familiar to you, you can begin to take them for granted. Can anybody testify? And the things of God are no different. You know, it's funny because people who first come into Celebration Church, like, they come for the first time, they're like blown away. Oh my gosh, this church is like, if you are in guest services, you have seen the look, have you not? The look is like, this church, oh my gosh. But you know, that happens, and then a year, 2 years down the road, the music's too loud. Oh, parking was too much. Oh, they want you to serve too much of this. Here we go with Imagine again. Oh, they're charging too much for Shine this year. Oh, here's Christine. We already heard her last year. I mean, you see what I'm saying? The same person that walked through the door like a year or 2 years ago was like, oh, I found my home. I'm never leaving. Like, 2 years later, they're like, we don't have enough prophecy here. You know what happened? You're not hungry. The problem in America is not lack of spiritual resources. Let me tell you this again. The problem in America is not lack of spiritual resources. You need to learn more doctrine. Can you read a book? Please. Do you need a word of prophecy? Can you go to your prayer closet and hear from the Holy Ghost? Do you have to, like, get all discontent? The problem is not the church. The problem is not your friends. The problem is not your husband. The problem is you are not hungry. You're not hungry. And so you have lost your ability to taste the good things of God. God's still the same. But you've lost your ability to taste it. Listen to what Proverbs 27:7 says. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Let me tell you this. When you are not hungry, you can be in the best church. You can have the best friends. You can have the most amazing husband. You can be in the most anointed worship, hearing the most incredible, powerful, groundbreaking word from God. But if you are full, even the honey will not taste good to you. You will turn up your nose at it. But when you are hungry for God, when you are hungry, when you are empty, when you are thirsty, even the bitter things taste sweet to you. When you are hungry for God, parking, you're walking a mile from your car, getting in a golf cart, you're like, oh, Jesus, I can't wait to meet you when I walk through those doors. You are so hungry for God. The parking is a blessing to you. The ride on the golf cart is a time to fellowship. The people in the front waiting in line to check in your kids is like, oh, praise God, look at all the people coming to church this morning. But when you are full, those things become a burden and you turn up your nose. We have to not lose our taste, ladies, for the things of God. Let yourself get a little empty so you can feel hunger. Quit filling ourselves up with activities and things and just gossip and bleh and TV shows. This is why awakening is so powerful, because it lets us get empty. It lets us empty ourselves so we can hunger after God, so we can hunger after the right things. And what does the Bible says? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, because why? He shall be filled. And when you are filled with God, guess what? You shall not hunger again. Like Jesus told the woman at the well, he who drinks this water, he will be thirsty again. What water are you drinking? What water are you drinking to replace your thirst for God? To numb your thirst for God? What are you drinking? Because I can promise you, whatever it is, if it's relationships, if it's gossip, if it's discontent, if it's bitterness, if it's activities, if it's things that you're using to displace this hunger for God, to numb that hunger for God, you will be hungry. You'll be thirsty again. Just do it a little while. In a few hours, it'll wear off and you'll just be thirsty again. But when you fill yourself with the living water, there is no place of being satisfied like that. You will not be thirsty again when you fill yourself with God. He is the only thing that will satisfy you for the long haul, and that positions you for longevity. You know what's so cool about being hungry for God and filling yourself with God? The more you get, the more you want. The more you get, the more you want. And so what are you numbing that hunger with? What are you filling your life with that's numbing your hunger and your thirst for God? Get rid of it. Don't be afraid of a little emptiness, because when you fill that emptiness, you can then redirect your hunger to God and fill it with him, and you can be satisfied. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Celebration Sisterhood. We hope this message has been an inspiration and opened your heart to embracing all that God has for you.